Edward Lear, an introduction. Ah, nonsense. The English, it is often said, have a peculiar brand of humour. Along with copious cups of tea and a stiff upper lip, it keeps life together in moments of difficulty and strife. One of our much admired humorists is Edward Lear, famed throughout the world for his nonsense verse and limericks. Born in Holloway, North London, Lear was the 21st child of Anne and Jeremiah Lear, and raised by his sister Anne, who was, of course, 21 years older than Edward. His early life was unsettled, prone to illness, especially epileptic fits and depression, which gave him a character coloured with guilt and shame. However, by his 30s, he had published his first book of limericks, in which his touching drawings were also displayed. His works as an artist are easily recognised, and he helped to develop many innovative techniques, but his later written works, such as The Owl and the Pussycat, The Jumblies, and The Pelican Chorus, have established him first and foremost as a writer of humorous verse. Lear travelled widely during his years and eventually settled in San Remo in Italy, gradually succumbing to death in 1876. On his nearby headstone are inscribed these lines from Tennyson's 2 EL, Edward Lear, on his travels in Greece. All things fair, with such a pencil, such a pen, you shadow forth to distant men. I read and felt that I was there. These stories and verse are read for you by James Taylor, Nigel Planer and Gisela Rowe.
The Owl and the Pussycat by Edward Lear. The owl and the pussycat went to sea in a beautiful pea-green boat. They took some honey and plenty of money wrapped up in a £5 note. The owl looked up to the stars above and sang to a small guitar, "Oh, lovely pussy, oh, pussy, my love, what a beautiful pussy you are. You are, you are, what a beautiful pussy you are." Pussy said to the owl, "You elegant fowl, how charmingly sweet you sing. Oh, let us be married, too long we have tarried, but what shall we do for a ring?" They sailed away for a year and a day to the land where the bong tree grows, and there in a wood a piggywig stood with a ring at the end of his nose. His nose, his nose, with a ring at the end of his nose. "Dear pig, are you willing to sell for 1 shilling your ring?" said the piggy.
"I will."
So they took it away and were married next day by the turkey who lives on the hill. They dined on mince and slices of quince, which they ate with a runcible spoon. And hand in hand on the edge of the sand, they danced by the light of the moon. The moon, the moon. They danced by the light of the moon.
The Courtship of Yongi Bongi Bo by Edward Lear. On the coast of Coromandel, where the early pumpkins blow, in the middle of the woods lived the Yongi Bongi Bo. 2 old chairs and half a candle, 1 old jug without a handle, these were all his worldly goods. In the middle of the woods, these were all the worldly goods of the Yongi Bongi Bo, of the Yongi Bongi Bo. Once among the bong trees, walking where the early pumpkins blow, to a little heap of stones came the Yongi Bongi Bo. There he heard a lady talking to some milk-white hens of Dorking.
"'Tis the Lady Jingly Jones on that little heap of stones. Sits the Lady Jingly Jones," said the Yongi Bongi Bo, said the Yongi Bongi Bo. "Lady Jingly, Lady Jingly, sitting where the pumpkins blow, will you come and be my wife?" said the Yongi Bongi Bo. "I am tired of living singly on this coast so wild and shingly. I'm a-weary of my life. If you'll come and be my wife, quite serene would be my life," said the Yongi Bongi Bo, said the Yongi Bongi Bo. "On this coast of Coromandel, shrimps and watercresses grow. Prawns are plentiful and cheap," said the Yongi Bongi Bo. "You shall have my chairs and candle, and my jug without a handle. Gaze upon the rolling deep, fishes plentiful and cheap, as the sea my love is deep," said the Yongi Bongi Bo,
said the Yongi Bongi Bo. Lady Jingly answered sadly, and her tears began to flow.
Your proposal comes too late, Mr. Yongi Bongi Bo. I would be your wife most gladly. Here she twirled her fingers madly. But in England I've a mate. Yes, you've asked me far too late, for in England I've a mate. Mr. Yongi Bongi Bo, Mr. Yongi Bongi Bo. Mr. Jones, his name is Handel, Handel Jones, Esquire and Co. Dorking fowls delights to send, Mr. Yongi Bongi Bo. Keep your chairs and candle, and your jug without a handle. I can merely be your friend. Should my Jones more Dorkins send, I will give you three, my friend, Mr. Yongi Bongi Bo, Mr. Yongi Bongi Bo. Though you've such a tiny body, and your head so large doth grow, though your hat may blow away, Mr. Yongi Bongi Bo, though you're such a hoddy-doddy, yet a wish that I could modify the words I needs must say. Will you please to go away? That is all I have to say, Mr. Yongi Bongi Bo, Mr. Yongi Bongi Bo.
Down the slippery slopes of Myrtle, where the early pumpkins blow, to the calm and silent sea fled the Yongi Bongi Bo. There, beyond the Bay of Girtle, lay a large and lively turtle.
You're the cove, he said, for me, on your back beyond the sea. Turtle, shall you carry me?
Said the Yongi Bongi Bo, said the Yongi Bongi Bo. Through the silent, roaring ocean did the turtle swiftly go. Holding fast upon his shell, rode the Yongi Bongi Bo. With a sad primeval motion towards the sunset isles of Boshen, still the turtle bore him well, holding fast upon his shell.
Lady Jingly Jones, farewell,
sang the Yongi Bongi Bo, sang the Yongi Bongi Bo. From the coast of Coromandel did that lady never go. On that heap of stones she mourns for the Yongi Bongi Bo. On the coast of Coromandel, in his jug without a handle, still she weeps and daily moans. On that little heap of stones, to her Dorking hens she moans, for the Yongi Bongi Bo, for the Yongi Bongi Bo.